The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with a little news from the world of medicine. Frequent internet use is not always bad. Spending chunks of your day on the internet can be helpful or detrimental to your mental health, depending on what you do there. A 2020 Canadian review links social media use to mental distress among teens, in part because it can bring on a feeling that others look or live better than you do. On the other hand, in a 2021 British study, seniors who went online at least once a day during the pandemic lockdown tended to feel less depressed compared to those who accessed the internet only once a week or less. The benefits include communicating with family and friends, finding inspiration for fun offline activities, and enjoying a quick feel-good distraction on a rough day. Cat video, anyone? Waist size is a useful heart health metric. Since the 1970s, body mass index, BMI, has been widely used to estimate health risk related to excess body fat. However, many commentators argue that we've been overlooking its limitations. A group of worldwide experts released a statement in early 2020, suggesting that doctors should also measure patients' waists, since BMI alone isn't always a good indicator of cardiovascular risk. An athletic, muscular person could have a high BMI and a healthy heart. Conversely, many people lose muscle with age, which could lower their BMI despite high body fat levels. So when BMI can be useful, adding waist circumference to the picture clarifies your risk profile. Fortunately, waist size tends to go down with exercise and a healthy diet, even if your weight doesn't. Why you shouldn't cry over spilled milk. Scientists have proved that you're better off not sweating the small stuff. To stimulate the emotional effects of daily setbacks, missing a bus, say, or knocking over your coffee, did that yesterday, researchers showed people unpleasant images. Brain scans revealed that some participants' negative reactions lasted longer in a region called the amygdala than those of others. The subjects whose brain activity went back to normal more quickly were more likely to report that they were frequently in a good mood. These same people also rated their psychological well-being more highly 7 years later. A new treatment for arthritic knee pain. A knee replacement can help with severe osteoarthritis, but not everyone is willing to able to undergo a major surgery. There's now another option known as genicular artery embolization. For this procedure, a specialist cuts a pinhole in the patient's thigh and uses a thin tube to insert particles that diminish abnormal blood flow to the knee, thus reducing inflammation. The procedure takes 1 to 2 hours and requires neither general anesthesia nor an overnight hospital stay. Most patients see at least a 50% drop in pain for 12 months or more. Pandemic hand washing still matters. COVID-19 inspired people to wash their hands frequently with soap to reduce the risk of transmitting the virus, at least at first. Staff at Chicago Hospital reported washing their hands on a 75.75% of the required occasions, for example, before entering a patient's room, at the height of the pandemic's first wave in April 2020. By August of the same year, they were back to their pre-pandemic compliance levels of around 55%. Outside of hospitals, it's likely that the rest of us are sliding back into subpar habits as well. Even as COVID cases subside, there are still reasons to maintain high hand-washing standards. These include preventing the spread of a common cold, diarrhea, and especially the flu, which remains a major cause of death. And I'll kind of contradict that. When I was in the hospital not too long ago, every time somebody came in the room, they used one of those sanitizer things. So, yeah, they're doing better. I didn't start working out till I turned 70. On James Owen's 70th birthday, he saw a video of himself hunched over and shuffling up to the podium where he was giving a talk. "I look like an old man," says Owen, who built a successful career on Wall Street. Even worse, he felt like an old man. He was about 25 pounds overweight and had chronic trouble with his back, knees, and shoulders. But instead of giving in to age, Owen decided to set an ambitious 5-year goal. He wanted to be pain-free, and decided the way to get there was through exercise, even though at the time he couldn't do a single push-up. Owen began his new exercise regimen by walking, though he started huffing and puffing after 5 minutes. But that didn't discourage him. He kept at the walks every day along with some stretching. Once he had those basics down, he started weightlifting and hired a personal trainer to teach him and design a routine he could follow on his own. The last piece was finding other activities he enjoyed, which turned out to be cycling and swimming. In less than 5 years, Owen was able to do 3 sets of 50 push-ups each and walk for miles each day. And yes, he was free of aches and pains. Aging well is only about 20 to 25% genes, and the rest is lifestyle, he says. As long as you're still mobile, it's never too late to become more fit. Owen used his experience to write a book called Just Move, A New Approach to Fitness After 50, in which he details how older adults can safely get off the couch and add more movement to their lives. The key? Getting started. Even if you just walk 3 blocks, which was all he could manage at first. Think of it as a movement, not an exercise, he says. The key is slow and steady progress. Now 81 and retired, Owen exercises 1 hour a day, 6 days a week. It's the best investment I've ever made in my life, he said. Quotable quotes. Life isn't based on the tennis game I play. It's the little things. Saying hello to everyone you meet, that's more validating than whether I win a match. Naomi Osaka, athlete. If you want something badly, keep at it till it's yours. Don't stop until because you think you tried hard enough and believe it's not going to happen. Don't make assumptions. Al Roker, journalist, weatherman, too. Listen to your body. I listen to mine, and every day it tells me not to do Zumba. Amy Schumer, comedian. I was raised with the idea that you could have different beliefs and you should defend that in other people, not shout it down. The people you disagree with most, you should stand up for their right to do that. Vince Vaughn, actor. Autumn is the mellower season, and what we lose in flowers, we more than gain in fruits. Samuel Butler, novelist. Cover story. Pet Besties. To meet the winners of our first America's Best Pet Pals contest, warm fuzzies are definitely guaranteed. Rescued animals. Dakota in Indiana, and there's a picture of 2 beautiful dogs. I think they're probably part husky. For 4 months, puppy Indiana miraculously survived in the woods with a shattered shoulder. She had been mistaken for a wolf and shot while running wild with her mother, Dakota. An animal control officer said they were the most intensely bonded pair he'd ever seen and refused to leave each other's side, even while trying to evade capture. As a result of the gunshot, Indiana not only lost her leg, but also her mother, as the two were sent to different adoption groups. While Indiana was learning to walk on 3 legs down south, Dakota was 1,000 miles north in New England. The first family to adopt her returned her 2 days later. They said she couldn't bond with humans, kept them up all night, and wasn't suitable to live in a home. Dakota found her forever home with me on Long Island. I have experience with Nordic breeds, and Dakota, a husky Malamute mix, just needed attention and someone who understood how to approach her. I always let her come up to me. I gave her the time and space to explore and feel comfortable. She soon let me put a leash on her and would jump into my bed and lie on the sofa with me. When I first read Dakota's Pet Finder bio, it mentioned that the puppy she'd been running with was shot, and I assumed killed. I'm a broadcast news journalist, so I did some sleuthing and came across a story from a South Carolina TV news outlet about a puppy that recently had her front leg amputated because of an old gunshot wound. There was no mistaking it. She was a spitting image of Dakota, and it's really true, they do really look alike. I vowed to bring... The puppy wasn't killed by the gunshot, just badly injured. I vowed to bring the 3-legged puppy home. As I learned throughout my journey to reunite mother and pup, they both needed each other. Back home, but Dakota would let out these downright mournful howls on the deck, as if she was calling for her puppy to come back. And potential adopters for Indiana were required to have a 6-foot fence because she kept jumping the one at her rescue in South Carolina. When I finally adopted Indiana, the reunion was magical. Dakota was ecstatic. She couldn't stop licking her puppy's face. The love between them is as heartwarming as their story is heartbreaking. The Dakota has since stopped her mournful howls. Indiana has never tried to jump my fence. They play and run around nonstop. The puppy cameras in my house turn on in the middle of the night because the 2 dogs are playing. They sleep intertwined with each one's nose resting on the other. If one rolls over for a belly rub, the other rolls too. They romp around on the beach and love to say hi to other dogs. When Indiana is tired, Dakota lets her pup rest on her one front leg on her back. Every day I play the same good morning song and they come running in to dance with me, jumping on their hind legs and giving me their front paws, or in one case, a paw. These once feral dogs now jump onto my bed, lie on the sofa with me, curl up in my lap, and lick me constantly. Despite their having lived in the wild, the dogs have no aggression whatsoever. I am constantly amazed by how sweet and gentle they are. Noni Grieber, The Hamptons, New York. And then there's a picture of a man wearing a Marine shirt. I can recognize with that since I am one. And it's a lifesaver. And it's the Blue, the big yellow fella. And it's a big yellow, looks like a Labrador. My dog, Blue, came into my life because I have post-traumatic stress disorder. For me, the condition resulted in 3 significant conflicts as a Marine and 20 years of humanitarian work in Somalia, Rwanda, Darfur, Haiti, Iraq, and Afghanistan. A soul-crushing illness, PTSD, drags victims into nightmarish voids of shame, fear, and chaos. Initially, the clash between my ego and reality made me hesitant to want a trained companion. Walking around with a large animal wearing a vest announcing service dog felt like a public admission of an illness I wanted to hide. But the South Stephen Guide Dog's motto hit home, serving those who cannot see and those who have seen too much. Oh, that's great. What a line. Managing PTSD involves learning to accept the past. Those who have seen too much fit. When asked during the interview process what kind of dog I preferred, I answered, imagine standing in the exercise area for dogs. In the distance, one dog is romping with his friends. You've been concerned about placing him. He's huge. He'll fill up a house, apartment, or a truck. That's my dog. Then, on my first evening at the Southeastern Guide Dog Campus, our trainer told me, since the beginning of this school in 1984, your dog is the largest lab ever born in this facility. You'll meet him tomorrow. The next day, a 90-pound yellow Labrador retriever with ears the size of dinner plates closed the 25 feet separating us in a flash. I dropped to the floor and my face was met by a wet tongue moving in sync with an ever-wagging tail. My worries vanished. I fell in love with the big yellow fella. Blue was trained for 23 months prior and knew his job. Over the next 12 days, the training focused on understanding his abilities and temperament and bonding. We were together 24/7. When I moved, he moved. If he couldn't follow, he strove to maintain line of sight. If a closed door separated us, he lay outside until I appeared. On the fifth night of training, I had a nightmare. They were becoming more frequent and severe. While still in the nightmare, I felt a sudden pressure across my chest. I shot up in bed, gasping for air and trying to orient myself. Blue had placed his legs across my torso to gently restrain me and attempted to lick me awake. He laid his head on my chest and I began to match his breathing. I could feel his warmth and kindness replacing the dark memories that embedded my sleep. The cues Blue learned over his 2 years of training are impressive. He inconspicuously blocks people from entering my personal space. He guides me through crowds and watches my back if I stop the conversation. All are examples of learned skills, but he has natural abilities that cannot be taught. Blue intercedes before I realize I am falling into depression, anxiety, or anger. His manner is never aggressive or intrusive. He usually comes to me wagging his tail. If he thinks I'm pushing too hard at the gym, he moves as close as he can to the weights or machine and licks my leg. During a stressful phone call or conversation, he'll lay his head on my lap. On the now rare occasions when I express anger, he stares at me with a face that says, I don't know what to do, but I love you, which immediately stops the emotion from escalating. My life is not perfect. I still have bad times, but it's different. The journey is now a quiet acceptance of the illness and its source without anger, fear, or resentment. And that's because my path is not guided by something intangible seen only when I look into the warm blue eyes of Blue. And the gentleman, it looks like he's probably in his maybe early 60s, mid-60s, and the dog is big. Besties most likely to go viral. Minnie the Moocher and Mr. Fluffy. Minnie the Moocher was a stray cat who lived on our property but never let me touch her once in 11 years. Still, she became my constant companion. Whenever I went outside, she'd meow hello and follow me around the property. One day, a fluffy cat showed up, staring at me and ignoring Minnie. Minnie, however, walked right up and head-butted him. He swatted at her. She tried to rub on him again. This went on for days until they finally accepted her affection. We adopted Mr. Fluffy, who disliked all cats except Minnie. They'd become quite the twosome. He'd come in the house at night, and every morning Minnie was on the porch waiting for him. One morning, Minnie just wasn't there. Mr. Fluffy and I scoured the property for days, but no Minnie. It always hurts to lose an animal you love. Feral as she was, Minnie taught me that friendship and love can be shared just by being present and accepting. No touching or words needed. Just be there. Carmen Ramone, Lavernia, Texas. And did I mention the name on the previous article? It's Robert McPherson from Charlotte, North Carolina. People to animals. Sophie and the Chicks. And there's a picture of a little girl holding a sunflower, and her arms are wrapped around a big yellow chicken. And she's got her teeth are not all the way in, and she's got a big smile. She's a little blonde girl. From the moment my husband brought home a box of six chicks from Tractor Supply Company at the start of the pandemic, our 9-year-old Sophie hasn't let them out of her sight. She named them Trixie, Beardy, Sweet Pea, Speedy, Captain Flit, and Adrian. We were reading Treasure Island and watching Rocky at the time, and she was very upset when we wouldn't let the chicks sleep in her bed, although we did relent one camping trip when they were allowed to sleep in a box in her tent. Sophie takes at least one chicken everywhere we let her, and has had incredible adventures with her flock, camping, hiking, river tubing, biking, riding scooters, sledding, cross-country skiing, and trick-or-treating. The reactions from neighbors on Halloween were hilarious. "Wait, is that a real chicken you're holding?" Trixie cooed the whole time. On Christmas, Sophie made each chicken a tiny stocking filled with oats and clay ornaments with their footprints pressed into them. Sophie's favorite gifts were Chicken Whisperer shirt and socks that looked like chicken feet. The chickens were not allowed in the house until one morning after virtual school when Sophie told me, "There's nothing to feel happy about." Since then, we've allowed one inside at a time, provided Sophie immediately cleans up after the visit. One night, Beardy had snuggled up in a towel in my lap as I cuddled Sophie in my arms. We petted Beardy as she cooed and slowly closed her eyes. The chickens brought a glimmer of joy back to our lives. In a few short months, they've taught us to accept situations we can't change and find joy where we can. I'm so grateful. Emily Krumjack, Del Mar, New York. What a cute picture. Animals to animals. Floyd and his kittens. A few winters ago, my dog Floyd found a tiny sickly kitten with her paws in a milk pail on our dairy barn. She curled up in a hunch and kept warm with a calf. She wouldn't let me touch her at first, but would rub against Floyd and let him lick her face as a mama cat would. A friend had given Floyd to us a few months earlier. He was the run of the litter and the last puppy left. He has such a nurturing personality and ended up being so perfect for me. Eventually, I was able to befriend his kitten. We needed a good mouser, so I named her Mousetrap. And it's a black, white, and brown dog. Looks like it might have some terrier or something in it. And the cat is a golden yellow, almost a tiger stripe. She made herself right at home, traipsing across the computer keyboard in the barn office and sending the computer into fits. We learned to stand a keyboard on its edge at night. Problem solved. Mousetrap loves snuggling up with Floyd while I milk the cows. She follows him everywhere. Floyd loving having a little buddy, and Mousetrap grew from a scrawny, sickly kitten into a beautiful tortoiseshell cat, who didn't turn out to be a great hunter. The next year I found Floyd looking and delighted as he gazed under a broken floorboard, and I discovered Mousetrap was a mama. Floyd didn't want to budge. He wanted to lie by the hole all day. He was there to greet and kitten said to begin emerging from their birthplace, lovingly licking them head to toe as he had their mother. As they grew up, canine and feline share bowls of warm milk and food. Floyd even let Mousetrap share a steak bone or a scoop of ice cream. The kitten saw Floyd as a second mother and followed him around the farm just like Mousetrap. And when the mama left them on their own for a bit, they had the world's best babysitter. The kittens are all grown up now, and it's always a sight to see Floyd trot by with several cats keeping step alongside of him. I could just picture that. When one of the cats catches a mouse, Floyd gets in on the excitement, too, sometimes snatching it from right under their noses for a good game of catch me if you can. When I let Floyd out every morning, at least three cats lying in the yard jump up to trot after him. At night, they all crowd the back door and try to come inside with him. Last summer, our farm welcomed another litter of kittens, and of course, Floyd fell in love with them, too. I had to bring a few into the house for some extra care, and Floyd was happy to let them live in his crate. He was a wonderful surrogate mom, and letting them snuggle, never complaining when they ate from his bowl or climbed all over him. Several of the folks who adopted the kittens were thrilled that their new pet was already more than comfortable around dogs. Witnessing the sweet relationship that Floyd shares with these cats has truly been a heartwarming experience for everyone on the farm. They brought love, laughs, and so many smiles into our lives. This is the joy we never would have known had that first tiny kitten not found her way into our calf hutches and met the gentle farm dog who accepted her as family. Elizabeth Miller, Saratoga Springs, New York. Oldest pet pal, Bozo the Desert Tortoise. We first met Bozo in the backyard of an elderly neighbor in Las Vegas, Nevada, and was told he was nearly 60 years old. Our children were around 10 years old in the 1980s. Bozo became my son Sheldon's pet until 2008, when Sheldon had to move to a colder climate, at which Bozo came to us. Sheldon is now 54, and Bozo is around 105, but Sheldon is still Bozo's favorite. All Sheldon has to do is start talking in the backyard, and Bozo comes crawling. Ed and Graubauer, Las Vegas, Nevada. Rainbow Bridge, Grace and Esther. And there's a picture of a young woman, quite attractive, brownish hair, big smile on her face, and she's holding what looks like a lamb. No, it's not a lamb, it's a full-size sheep. I woke up at 3 the night Esther came to live with us. I stood at the top of the stairs listening for her bleeding coming from the basement below. Esther was a day-old orphaned lamb. Bum lambs, as they're called, are less likely to live through their first night. I grew anxious from silence. Oh, no, I thought. Grace will be devastated. Esther was my already very established in my 16-year-old daughter's heart. I feared the worst, apprehensively approaches Esther's enclosure. There, nestled in the straw, sleeping peacefully with baby Esther, was Grace. No wonder Esther wasn't bleeding. She had found her mama. Grace and Esther slept together every night for the next month. They moved from the straw in the basement to sheets on Grace's bed, which Grace washed daily. Grace persuaded her teacher to let Esther come to school and her parents to let Esther come along Las Vegas on family vacation. Esther, biologically a merino sheep, considered herself a human. Grace's human, to be exact. She'd entered the house at will, jumping through an open window if no one was gracious enough to open the door. She was Grace's shadow and echo. When Grace left, heaven forbid, all she had to do was baa when she returned for Esther to come running and bleeding. Soon Esther became Big Esther. Soon little Esther became Big Esther, though she was forever Grace's baby. Once Grace dressed her in a red cloak and took her trick-or-treating as Little Red Riding Hood. The neighbors invited him inside, where Esther proceeded to nibble on their geraniums and headbutt their standard poodle. Grace and Esther were a common sight on the streets of Roy, Utah, where we live, and in the halls of Roy High. Most young ladies in the homecoming court chose boyfriends or brothers to escort them across the stage. Grace chose Esther. As if bringing a woolly companion into the auditorium wasn't risky enough, Grace left Esther with a student body officer on one side of the stage, walked across to the other, then instructed the officer to let her go. A sheep loose on stage in front of 600 high school students? What could go wrong? Nothing. Esther performed like the queen she was. Grace bawed and Esther bawed right back. The two happily met at center stage. Grace moved to attend the University of Utah. Grace would call me and say, I came to Roy last night, but I didn't go in the house. I just needed an Esther fix. So I went to the pasture and hung out with her for an hour. Indeed, there was a bond to remember. Sadly, in February 2021, it became just that, after Esther passed away from birthing complications. Family is forever, and Esther is family. She is waiting for Grace on the other side of the veil that separates the living from the next life to come. When Grace passes through, she'll baa, and Esther will baa back, and they'll run to each other, happily reuniting. Teresa Noel Hillsop, Roy, Utah. Proudest protectors, Rue and Finn, two nice-looking black dogs. Returning to the parking lot after a hike, I prayed that a stranger who'd behave oddly on the trail would be gone. I had to ask twice to pass while my normally friendly dogs, Rue and Finn, growled. He said, I'm looking at your dogs, as if considering whether he could fight them off to get to me. As I feared, he was standing between our cars, the last in the lot, clearly waiting for me. Rue and Finn snapped into protection mode. Anyone in his right mind would have backed off. The man didn't. He walked slowly toward me. So Finn lunged at the leash. Startled, the man leaped back. I quickly put Rue and Finn in my truck and raced away. An hour later, a police dispatcher informed me he had picked up the man, who was still waiting in the parking lot, probably for someone who did not have two German shepherds protecting her. Nancy Radabaugh, Utica, Ohio. Thanks, pet lovers. 1,030 dogs, 528 cats, 31 horses, 21 chickens, 16 bunnies, 11 cows, 8 lizards, 5 ferrets, 1 tarantula, and a zoo full of other animals. Thanks for your nominations and 31,651 votes, all human, we think. Our judges were able to identify our menagerie of winners. To nominate your favorite pet besties for a future issue, go to rd.com/petpals. That was really a delightful article. A Life Well Lived. My mom's 80th birthday tattoo is just the lit example of her wild, newfound independence. Golden Girl. When your mother enters her ninth decade, you make a point of being a little extra vigilant for any signs of decline, memory loss, bouts of repetition, general acceleration of age-related deterioration. Thankfully, my mother has been blessed with good health, and her mental facilities seem to have remained largely intact. But when she got inked after turning 80 last September, I had to wonder. To celebrate Mom's landmark birthday, we were planning a large party. But then, of course, everything had to be canceled because of COVID-19. After all, her entire social circle is high risk, composed as it is of septuagenarians and octogenarian friends from her book, Wine Club, her garden, Wine Club, and her church. Instead, we arranged an outdoor family lunch at our lake house in Quebec. My mother looks just like many other grandmothers. She is short, plump, and white-haired. She's rosy-cheeked and jolly, and when she laughed, her eyes almost seemed to disappear behind those chubby cheeks. She comes from an old, traditional Catholic family. She was a career civil servant. In short, she didn't do crazy stuff. That all changed a few years ago. She began to surprise my older brother and me with bouts of what she describes as independence. At the time, we remember themselves as examples of irresponsibility and possible age-related questionable judgment. In the early 2015, the year she turned 75, she informed us she'd booked a 7-night trip to Turkey, alone, because she had never been. Of course, that was absurd. There was no way my brother and I could allow that. A vulnerable little old lady wandering the streets of Istanbul on her own, not speaking a word of Turkish, with no knowledge of the laws and customs of the land, was out of the question. She paid no attention to us. Off she went. When she returned, she told us it had been a wonderful success. And it turns out she had barely spent any time alone after hiring a taxi driver to show her around Istanbul for a few days. He took her to the souks, the mosques, and restaurants. He introduced her to a rug vendor, a lovely fellow, and she bought some rugs. The vendor had taken her address details and promised to ship the rugs home. The vendor and my mother apparently struck up quite a friendship, and she told him to please drop by if he were ever in Canada. My mother beamed when she told the story. We couldn't believe how naive she had been, and duly sat her down to explain she had been duped. The vendor had her money. She neither had nor would be receiving any rugs, and of course she had no possible recourse. Some weeks later, her rugs arrived, as did a lovely note from Mustafa. To her even greater surprise, the following year, Mustafa himself arrived, and promptly called our mother to inform her of that fact. He gave Pi for a cup of tea. They drink a lot of tea in Turkey, my mother told my horrified brother and me. At 77, she did a similar thing while on a Caribbean cruise with her younger sister. Upon disembarking in Cuba, she wandered off on her own, flagged down a motorcycle rickshaw, and had the driver show her around the island for several hours. Of course, she had neglected to inform her sister of her plans. She would have worried, she said, causing my aunt to spend the entire afternoon searching for our mother. My aunt didn't find her until Mom returned just before the ship was due to depart. She had been sampling a local drink with some very nice Cubans at a bar, somewhere off in the forest, just a shack of a place, really. Still, her 80th birthday was when she really outdid herself. Sitting on the deck of the cottage for the outdoor birthday lunch with her family, Mom informed us she had decided she had to get a tattoo, her first. It would be her 80th birthday present to herself. My brother and I eyed each other. Was she joking? What does Mom know about tattoos? She goes to church, not to tattoo parlors. It seemed so absurd we didn't believe it. 6 days later, she had a tasteful butterfly on the outside of her left ankle. My brother and I wondered, had she become addle-brained? But Mom proved that she was thinking straighter than most of us. Her streak of independence seemed to be thoughtfully based on a realization that life is to be lived, and when there's relatively little of it left, it needs to be lived now. This philosophy reminded me of the line from The Shawshank Redemption, get busy living or get busy dying. As happened with most of us, the pandemic kept her cooped up and away from love, funds, and fun. The tattoo was her way of flipping 2020 the bird, and we couldn't be prouder of her. I don't think Mom knows what her next big thing is. She's a little old lady who sits in her apartment, but she won't sit still much longer. Sure, she's prone to folly, though maybe that's what we need right now, some pointless, wonderful folly. Well, I really enjoyed that last article. We're not supposed to editorialize, but I will mention the fact that I got my first tattoo when I was 65. So, yes, it does happen to us old people. We want to live it because there ain't a whole lot of time left. Now we go back to Consumer Reports, and here we're talking about how to be a smarter shopper right now. And we left off last week with Buy It Better, Lawn Tools, Shop Smart. Holding a leaf blower or string trimmer can give you a sense of its weight and maneuverability, but because they're sold indoors, you won't be able to feel the vibration or hear their roar when powered up. You'll find more options and a wider prices of Risins online. Get a deal. Leaf blowers go on sale in September and October, which unfortunately has passed. But you'll find the best string trimmer prices starting in March. Appliances. Shop smart. Browse online and be flexible. Many stores still have limited stock and probably will into 2022, and now it looks like maybe 2023. Pick a reliable brand and then focus on most important functions and performance. Not the exact model, CR's analysts say. Get a deal. Prices are higher now for many appliances. Experts suggest shopping at independent retailers. They often can match the prices of the big box stores. Set yourself up to save. What's different? When McKinsey asked consumers about what they plan to splurge on this year, Tamara Charm expected them to say traveling and dining. They did say that, but they also said they look forward to buying electronics, home goods, cosmetic, and more. Folks are excited to spend as life gets back to normal, she says. But when it comes to the cost of consumer goods, they aren't exactly normal. A combination of high demand for everything from lumber to outdoor furniture and supply chain shortages for the very same products has driven prices up and available deals down. Appliance retailers, for one, are offering smaller discounts and fewer promotions, energy experts say. Still, souls are angling for your business, and online tools make it easier to compare prices, so you're not doomed to overpay as long as you shop carefully. Save more in store. Because so many walk-in stores have websites or compete with e-commerce stores, the Internet is your key to getting in-person deals. So check the online price of anything you're considering buying in a store and ask the retailer to match it. In CR's member surveys, most shoppers who try to negotiate say they're successful. If you can't get a better price, ask for something else, delivery or assembly thrown in free, for example. Some retailers, such as Petco, Kohl's, and Walmart, are offering discounts, rebates, and incentives to shoppers who buy online, pick up in the store, also called BOPUS, B-O-P-U-S. Find the best deals online. Use sites to save. Search Google Shopping, Price Grabber, or Shopzilla, as well as CR.org, to see prices across retailers. CR Shopping Pros also look for deals at websites like Deal News, Got a Deal, and Deals Plus, where you can sign up for alerts for products you're interested in, often by category. Add to your cart. If you're signed in at a website, leave an item in your cart without checking out. Some retailers might send you an email with a discount code to encourage you to buy. Join a loyalty program. Signing up for one may get you early access to coupons, sales, and promotions, plus rewards on what you buy. Get social. Retailers often post exclusive promotions on their Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter feeds and reward customers who like or follow them with alerts for discounts, incentives, and giveaways. Sticky situation. I saw the smartphone I wanted at a great price, but it's refurbished, not new. Should I go for it? The savings can be significant. On Apple's website, for example, we recently found a refurbished iPhone XR with 120 gigabytes of storage for $469, and you're likely to be happy with your buy. In CR Spring 2018 survey of over 3,000 members with refurbished smartphones, a majority told us they were highly satisfied with theirs. Look for a certified pre-owned phone with a warranty that you can return. And that's interesting because a couple years ago, a friend of mine bought an iPad that was refurbished, and she loves it. Be smart about secondhand. If you've ever wandered through a flea market, you've already dipped your toe into the secondhand marketplace. The used clothing market alone could more than double by 2025, growing at a rate 11 times faster than the broader retail clothing sector, according to the secondhand fashion retailer ThredUp. New online options like Depop and Tradesy have joined stalwarts like Facebook, Marketplace, and eBay, and traditional retailers have gotten into the game, too, with companies like Macy's and Patagonia offering pre-owned items, others like Apple and KitchenAid selling return products they're refurbished to work like new. In the past, buying secondhand was looked down upon as something people did when they didn't have the money to shop new. But now it's seen as trendy, says Elizabeth Bass, owner of Family Tree Resale, a Chicago-based store that also offers online thrift shopping. It's also good for the planet, not to mention your wallet. You can save about 80% by buying used, she says. Try these tips for saving shopping. Think local for large items. Bassett suggests looking at local thrift stores at sites like Facebook Marketplace for furniture and appliances so that you don't have to ship them. Shop sites that authenticate. Browsing for designer clothing? Sites like Poshmark and The RealReal authenticate items so you can be confident you're not buying a fake. And check seller reviews and policies. For higher-end purchases, buy only from online sellers who have a substantial record of positive feedback and reviews. And check their return policies. Some are very strict. Heading out to a store. What's different? Walk-in stores today don't look quite the same as they did in 2019. Thousands didn't make it through the pandemic, for one thing. And those that have survived, you can expect not only ubiquitous hand sanitizing stations, but also provincially fewer salespeople due to a post-pandemic labor crunch. The service you find in a store right now might be what you were accustomed to pre-pandemic, says Audrey Guskey, Ph.D., an associate professor of marketing at Duquesne University and an expert on consumer trends. Depending on what you're purchasing, you might also find less available stock. Supply chain shortages in semiconductors, electronics, lumber, and foam affect many categories, including laptops and furniture. Stop and shop strategically. Beyond the appeal of retail therapy, an afternoon spent with a friend hitting favorite shops and coffee spots at the mall or strolling down Main Street, there are certain times when a physical store is the best place to find what you need. When comfort is the key, if you'll spend a lot of time sitting or lying on a piece of furniture, like sofa or mattress, it's worth heading to a store to try before you buy. Ditto for anything where ergonomics are important, like a keyboard, fitness equipment, and musical instruments. With clothing, it's a it depends situation. You can find just about anything online, and it's usually easy to return. But fit is really important, say for running shoes or evening wear. You might want the help of a store associate or the convenience of in-house tailoring. If color or scale really matter, computer screens and photography can distort the way colors appear and make it difficult to judge size. So if you really want to make a new rug will match your curtains or the new chair doesn't dwarf your side table, you might want to see it in person, especially if it's something large and difficult to return. And measure your space and existing furnishings before you go, and I will testify how important that was because I bought a sofa a couple years ago, and it kind of overwhelms my poor living room. Number three, because you want a curated selection. Going to a store with limited number of carefully chosen options can help simplify your choices, and the owner or an experienced salesperson of a specialty shop may be able to offer advice for your specific needs. A sticky situation. Stores often offer a discount on your first purchase if you sign up for their credit card at checkout. Is that a good way to save? It can be. Just know that retail cards also typically have higher interest rates, lower credit limits, and lower rewards than general interest cards, says Kimberly Palmer, a personal finance expert with NerdWallet. Before you sign up, do the math to see if the discount is worth it. Also, applying will typically generate a hard inquiry on your credit report, which can temporarily hurt your credit score. Another sticky situation. I saw the TV I wanted in an electronics store in the mall, but I found it from less online from a different retailer. Is it a no-brainer to order it online? First, check that the lower online price. Note the shipping cost and return policy and see what's included, like unboxing or basic setup. Then ask the store if it can match the online price. If it can't, you'll have to weigh price versus supporting an independent retailer that may offer benefits like individual advice and a curated selection. If not, rock-bottom prices. Use your time wisely. It's still a good practice to limit your time in public places where you may be more likely to be exposed to COVID-19 before you head to a store. You can check the inventory online. With many retailers, you can look online to see whether an item is in stock at your local store. If the store doesn't offer this option, call ahead to check. If you need help once you're there, ask for an appointment to avoid a wait. Download the retailer's app. Target's app, for example, can direct you to the right aisle to find a product in the store. Walmart's app allows you to scan items while you're shopping and then check yourself out, avoiding potentially long lines at the registers. Buy it better. Laptops. Shop smart. Avoid a return by shopping in person so that you can evaluate the comfort of the keyboard, both its size and how well you like the clickiness, CR's tech says. Get a deal. Save a model that's a year or two old, particularly good idea if your needs barely exceed browsing the web, using Microsoft Office and making video calls, none of which require the latest and greatest processors. Headphones. Shop smart. A bad fit can affect performance and comfort. Some stores let you try on headphones. That's usually not true for in-ear models, though, so buy from a retailer with a good return policy. And look beyond the big names. We found superb, low-priced models from lesser-known companies such as One More, Monoprice, or Save Big with refurbished headphones from Amazon, Best Buy, or Walmart. Buy it better. Exercise equipment. Sharp test in person. Test it in person to evaluate the fit, construction, quality, and controls. Get a deal. Save by buying used, but not from a commercial gym. The machines get too much use. Inspect a treadmill belt for wear. Try all the speeds and the incline. Check the warranty and that there's no safety recall for the model. Furniture. Shop smart. Check CR's rating of furniture retailers. Pick one with the best combination of selection, price, and service. Shortages mean shipping times are longer than usual at some retailers. Get a deal. Browse the secondhand marketplace for steals on nearly new furniture. Try to see any used upholstered items in person to be sure they're intact and don't have smoke or pet odors. Shopping online. What's different? Retail giants like Amazon, Kmart, and Walmart now host third-party or marketplace sellers, independent retailers who often have their own shipping and return policies that may differ from those of the main platform. Fake reviews have proliferated everywhere, and even the search process has become less than straightforward. Keep in mind that items labeled sponsored means that a company paid to get its products listed at the top of the results page. And Amazon's choice label, another example, doesn't mean that someone from Amazon reviewed it, but rather that an algorithm found it ranked well in terms of reviews, pricing, and availability to ship quickly. Find it faster. Use your tabs. Try what Julie Ramhold, a consumer analyst, does. Type it into your search engine, then click through one of the retailers that come up. Find the product you like best and keep the page open. Go to a new tab and repeat the process at another retailer. That way you can compare. Filter for your needs. Retailers typically have a side or top panel where you can choose to limit your search by factors like brand, size, color, and average customer review rating. Set a timer. If you're prone to decision paralysis, Bob Sullen, author of Gotcha Capitalism, Create Space Independent Publishing for Platform 2018, suggests setting a timer to go off a few minutes after you've started searching. Just stopping and doing something else can help you make a choice. Coping with customer service. Many retailers now use artificial intelligent customer service chatbots, essentially robots with whom you can instant message for assistance. If you'd rather talk to a person, ask the chatbot for a phone number you can call, or check the website Get Human, an online directory with customer service guides and phone numbers for thousands of national and international companies. If that's not getting you anywhere, switch to social media, but that doesn't mean publicly airing your grievance. Direct messaging a company's social media account is often the quickest path to a response. Always be sure you understand the shipping and return policies before you buy, including the return window, whether you need a receipt or proof of purchase, and if you'll have to pay a restocking fee. Don't assume that third-party sellers have the same return and shipping policies as the main site. Look for the sold by label on the item you're buying and click through to the seller's storefront to check its policies. Also, read customer reviews for the seller and the products it offers. Tread carefully if there's a lot of negative feedback. Flexible return policies. Amazon. You have 30 days to return most new unopened items. Amazon provides shipping labels for mail-in returns, or you can take items to tens of thousands of drop-off locations. Costco. There's no time limit on most returns, but electronics and major appliances must be returned within 90 days of receipt. Home Depot. Return most new unopened items within 90 days. No receipt? Bring the item in your ID to a store within 30 days. The company can look up your purchase if you paid with a debit or credit card or by check. Target. You have up to 90 days to return most items. Return shipping is free or bring online purchases to any store. Target may deny returns that have been opened or damaged or those without a receipt. Stricter return policies. Apple. Gives you just 14 days to return an item or get a refund, whether it's purchased through an Apple online or in an Apple store. Best Buy. It has a major 15-day window for returning most items, requires proof of purchase, and has a 15% restocking fee on certain items. Kmart. You have 30 days for most returns with a receipt, but just 7 for upholstered furniture, mattresses, and bed frames. Seasonal holiday items can't be returned once the holiday has passed, so then there are no extended return windows for holiday gifts. Sticky situation. I need a new kitchen range. I don't want to buy the wrong thing, but I'm worried about COVID-19 and I'm limiting time in stores. Should I buy one online? If you're picking a similar model from a reliable brand, buying online makes sense. If you're considering a new type, say an induction model when you've always had gas, you might want to see it and get personal advice. Some independent retailers also offer a repair service, which could definitely help down the line. Now let's talk about one of my favorite things, bread. Bread that's really good for you. Staff of Life are a carbon-laden calorie bomb. We bust common myths and review a lot of packaged sliced loaves to help you find the nutritional superstar. And there's a picture here of a whole row of bread slices all stacked side by side next to each other and with some notes on them. Too much sugar? Look beyond the no high fructose corn syrup claims for other sources of added sugars, such as cane sugar or honey. Some breads, such as Arnold Organic 22 Grains and Seeds, have 4 grams or more per slice, but 2 grams or less is better. The sodium count. Bread without salt can taste bland, but some have more than they need for flavor, and bread is a top source of sodium in the U.S. diet. Choose those with about 150 milligrams or less a slice. Schmidt Old Time 100% whole wheat has just 110 milligrams. Got whole grains? Breads have a whole grain, such as whole wheat flour or sprouted wheat, mentioned at first in their ingredients list, like 365 Whole Foods Margaret Organic Agent grains usually have no refined grains. The wrong kind of fiber. Many brands tout their fiber, but more than 2 or 3 grams a slice may mean processed fiber has been added, which may not be as good for you. Pepperidge Farm's whole grain 100% whole wheat has 4 grams, some from sugarcane fiber. Nuts and seeds are good, too. As long as the bread you choose is all whole grain, getting one with nuts and seeds like Dave's Killer Bread, Organic Power Seed, can be nice extras. Healthy fat and a bit more fiber. For many Americans, eating bread may feel like a guilty pleasure. They worry that it's loaded with carbs and low in nutrients, sure to spark weight gain, and will put them on the road to a variety of health problems. With all these notions about bread floating around, you may not know if the concerns are valid or overblown. Bottom line, if you need to enjoy bread, you don't have to avoid it, says Amy Keating, registered dietitian, a CR nutritionist. Selecting healthy loaf from a array in the supermarket, one packed with whole grains and low in added sugars and sodium, isn't as easy as it should be, though CR experts saw that firsthand in a recent review of nutrition, ingredients, and labeling on 56 popular packaged sliced breads. Our nutrition pros expected unraveling the terms on bread levels would be challenging, but even they were surprised at just how often our product was less healthy than it first seemed. And CR evaluated only those that, at least in initial glance, would appear to be nutritious, such as 12-grain and multi-grain breads. Less than half the grains we looked at were labeled multi-grain, oat, or made with whole grain, for instance, contained only whole grain flour, Keating says. And even all whole grain breads can be surprising sources of added sugar, sodium, and additives that you may want to eat less of. This all may seem confusing enough to make you want to give up these grain goods altogether. No need. We're separating the myth from the truth when it comes to bread. Read on below, then flip the page for ratings of some of the products you may find on store shelves. Myth. Bread is just empty calories. Grains have 3 parts, the endosperm, bran, and germ. White flour is made from just the endosperm, while whole wheat contains them all, and many of the grain's nutrients are the latter of 2 components. White bread does offer some protein, and most commercial loaves have made from flour enriched with B vitamins and iron. Bread that's primarily whole grain, however, has a lot more going for it. In addition to B vitamins and iron, it supplies vitamin E, minerals such as zinc and magnesium, flavonoids, and or antioxidants, protein, and fiber. Most adults should have 6 servings of grains a day, according to dietary guidelines for Americans. At least half of these should be whole grains. But on average, we list less than 1 daily help of whole grains, which is the reason whole grain bread can have a place as part of a healthy diet. Keating says give up bread would mean eliminating one of the easiest ways to work whole grains into your diet. Eating bread leads to weight gain. Bread isn't particularly high in calories, and about half the products we looked at had 80 to 110 calories per slice, and the fiber in whole grain bread is filling. But some evidence suggests that white bread may weigh in the waistline, possibly due to its meager fiber, 1 gram or less per slice, compared with 2 or more whole grain bread in it, and its potentially appetite-stimulating effects on blood sugar. A 2014 study in the journal BMC Public Health that followed people for an average of 5 years found that those who ate a lot of white bread, 6 slices a day versus 3 or fewer a week, were more likely to be overweight or obese. And a 2015 review in the British Journal of Nutrition linked white bread with excess belly fat. Whole grain bread appears to be less likely to spur the weight gain. For instance, a study in the Journal of Nutrition of more than 3,000 middle-aged and older adults found that those who ate 3 or more whole grain servings a day, primarily whole wheat bread and cold cereal, had smaller waist size increases as they aged than those who got less than half a serving. Still other studies have linked diets that include whole grain bread either with a lower body mass index and less likelihood of being overweight, or with no increase or decrease in BMI, weight, or waist size. Myth. It's best to avoid all grains, even whole. Some trendy diet plans hold that grains in general are responsible for just excess weight, but also for diabetes, dementia, and a host of other ills. But a larger body of research shows that whole grains, including bread, cut the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and certain cancers. Whole grains may also tame inflammation and boost healthy gut bacteria and immune system function. Gluten is another reason some say to stay away from certain grains. Found in wheat, rye, and barley, this protein can cause problems for the approximately 7% of Americans with celiac disease or gluten sensitivity. But for others, there's very little evidence that avoiding it has health benefits. And gluten-free bread may not be a healthier choice. Most gluten-free flours or products are not enriched, which means they'll be lower in nutrients compared to even white bread, says Nicola McCowan, Ph.D., a nutrition epidemiologist at the Jean Mayer U.S. Department of Agriculture Human Research Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University. Boy, that was a mouthful. Gluten-free breads are also likely to be lower in fiber than whole wheat, though it depends on the flour used to make them, she adds. Multigrain, whole grain, and whole wheat are the same. That's a myth. Not necessarily. It doesn't make sense, but multigrain made with whole grain and similar terms can mean one thing in one loaf and something else on another. The terms aren't regulated, C.R.S. Keating says. They imply that the bread is all whole grain, but there could actually be very little whole grains in there. It's very misleading. Case in point, a study published in 2020 in the Journal of Public Health Nutrition found that based on packaging claims, nearly half participants overestimated the amount of whole grain in breads and crackers primarily made with refined grains. In our bread review, we found the only claims that you could count on to mean a bread has no refined flours are 100% whole grain or 100% whole wheat, Keating says. If you're checking labels, many breads note the number of grams of whole grains in a slice. 16 grams is considered a serving. The more whole grains, the better. But it's not the only criteria for a healthy bread, Keating says. Loaves with the highest score in our ratings also had 2 grams or less of added sugars and 150 milligrams or less of sodium per slice, and few additives such as preservatives or dough conditioners. Behind the grain claims, how to make sense of confusing label info. 100% whole grain, 100% whole weight. What it means, all grains are whole, none are refined. Made with whole grains, made with whole wheat. What it means, these breads have some whole grains, but there's no set amount, so quite a bit of the grains may be refined. Multigrain, 15 grain. What it means, these contain a mix of grains, but aren't all necessarily whole. After all, white flour counts as a grain. Ancient grains, what it means, often used for breads with grains bred the way they were years ago, such as amaranth, spelt, or kamut. These are whole grains, but breads that use this term may still contain refined grains. Wheat. What it means. This simply uses the type of grain used in bread, not whether the wheat used is whole or refined. And honey wheat. What it means. Unless accompanied by a 100% whole grain claim, this probably bread is probably made mostly with whole wheat, with white flour. Ugh, sorry about that. My tongue got tangled. Is homemade bread healthier? Producing a loaf of freshly baked bread can be satisfying and healthy, and it requires few ingredients. You can make a delicious bread with just flour, yeast, water, and a little salt, so you avoid the sugars and additives found in some packaged breads, says Amy Keating, a CR nutritionist. Whole grain flour will give you the biggest nutritional bang, so look for a recipe where at least half, and preferably all, the flour is whole grain, Keating says. For optimum results, pick a recipe that was created with whole grains rather than trying to swap out the flours in a recipe for white bread. Otherwise, you may need to alter the amount of yeast and liquids. A recipe that lists ingredients by weight instead of volume also leads to better outcome. Use a digital kitchen scale for that. If mixing and kneading aren't your thing, consider your bread machine. With these, you simply dump in your ingredients, and in 3 to 4 hours, your loaf is ready. The Sirigi model, which we're going to mention in a second here, was the top performer in CR's recent test of 3 bread makers. The Sirigi Home Bakery Mastro BBSEC 10, $360. Controls, it got 5 out of 5. Setup got 5 out of 5. Noise, 4 out of 5. And cleaning got a 4 out of 5. And we'll run down about a dozen of the top breads. Food for Life Organic Flourless Sprite Grain got the top rating. Food for Life Organic Flourless 7 Sprouted Grains. 365 Whole Foods Market Organic Ancient Grains. Nature's Own 100% Whole Wheat. Dave's Killer Bread Organic Power Seed. Great Value, Walmart's Organic Thin Sliced Multigrain and Seeds. Trader Joe's Sprouted the Wheat Multigrain. Those got the highest possible ratings. Kiplinger's 100% Whole Wheat. Honor Brownberry Oral Wheat Whole Grains Health Nut. Nature's Own 100% Whole Grain. Nature's Own, Schmidt Old Town 100% Whole Wheat. Wonder 100% Whole Wheat. Nature's Own Life 100% Whole Grain Sugar Free. Nature's Own 100% Whole Wheat with Honey. Great Grains Bakery, Flax Seeds and Omega 3. Sara Lee, 100% Whole Wheat. Honor Brownberry or Wheat, Whole Grains, 100% Whole Wheat. All got 70 or above in the score. Honor Brownberry or Wheat, Whole Grains Healthy, Multigrain, Canyon Bakehouse, Gluten Free, 7 Grain. Aunt Millie's Homestyle, 100% Whole Wheat. Butternut Bread, 100% Whole Wheat. Stroman's Dutch Country, 100% Whole Wheat. Honor Brownberry Whole Wheat, Whole Grains, 12 Grain. Feuhoffer's Country, 100% Whole Wheat. Pepperidge Farm Whole Grain, 15 Grain. All got 64 and above in the score. Putting the brat in brass, we're closing out with a quick little joke here. Parenting is cooking food to a safe internal temperature and then waiting for 3 hours until it cools back down to a temperature my child can tolerate. Well, I can certainly identify with that one, having gone through it many times. So we've run out of today for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.